Good morning. I don't know about you guys, but I'm not really quite awake yet. We got back with the youth on Friday morning. I climbed into my bed about 3 a.m. I know most of the kids got home a little earlier than we did since we drive so far, but boy, was it worth it. What an amazing trip. And my announcement for you guys is keep August 19th on your calendars. Please try and be here that Sunday morning. That is when the youth are going to present their wrap-up for you. And just no words to even describe. So I am glad that you are all here with us this morning. Does anybody have any announcements that they need to make? Yeah, I think Todd's waving at me back there.
All right, I'm going to make it one last week. Next Sunday, and actually next weekend, is the 75th anniversary back at Camp Sotero. So please, there's an insert in your bulletin about it. Go back to the camp for the day on Saturday. There is many activities, planning, and meals. It's all free except if you purchase meals. Go on the camp's website for signing up or just call them. They're welcome to telephone calls also. So hope to see everyone back there next weekend, mostly on Saturday, and you can stay for Sunday. Thank you.
Anybody else have any other announcements that need to be drawn to our attention this morning? Just make sure you do review your bulletin. There are a lot of good informational things in there, and I would invite us to stand and sing our opening hymn.
Thank you. every single week. I look forward to this day where brethren, and may I add the word cistern, because I just like that word, brethren and cistern gather together to worship. It's an amazing part of the week. Thank you all for being here today. There'll be a microphone. Joys or concerns you'd like to share from the first service. I'm not sure if Pam's here, but we want to highlight Pam is going to be going to Nigeria to sing with the Nigerian women and just has a few things she needs to get accomplished before that'll happen. So we just want to keep Pam in prayer. And just the joy of music. She was at Lidditch Church of the Brethren, and Lozer's Music, I think is the name of it, came and like 250 people singing, and just a joy to have that experience. So music is a powerful part of our lives, and certainly we want to keep music central to that aspect of our worship. And we have a microphone coming around for any other joys or concerns that you may have.
I'd like prayer for June Knapp. She's in the hospital. She couldn't get up the last time she was sitting in the chair. She couldn't get up, and they took her to the hospital, and she had a problem then after that they're going to do tests.
Our daughter Jessie is 4 months expecting, and we're blessed to find out it's a baby girl. So keep her and the baby in prayer, as from the auto accident she confirmed 4 bulging discs in her neck, a brachial plexus injury, which is a nerve bundle in her right shoulder, and some damage, nerve damage in her one leg. So just for some healing and some support there. Thank you.
I'd just like to lift up my parents, Martin and Christine Bayshore. Dad's going to be having some surgery coming up the beginning of August, and my mom was in and out of the hospital with a bladder infection that was causing some other issues, and she's continuing treatments for her lymphoma. Thanks.
Let's pray. Father, we just come before you. You know the day that we have experienced already. You know the week that we've been through. You know the individuals that are on our hearts and on our minds in this very moment. And Father, we know that you are an active God. You are a God that has a powerful, powerful healing touch that can go forth at any moment if it be your will. And you know those on our hearts right now, those on our prayer concerns right now, and we're asking if it be your will, Father, that your healing would go forth and you would especially be with those by name I speak of, Bob and Scott and Sharon and Sam and John and Amanda and Ruth and Jesse and Jean and Martin and Christine. And Father, we pray your movement in their lives. We pray your healing in their lives. And we thank you for your will. We know as we struggle, we know as we suffer, we often draw closer to you, for your presence is made very real to us in those times. So we just thank you, Father, for our brothers and our sisters and those that are dealing with numerous illnesses. Lord, you know specifically what they are, and we just ask, Father, you would draw near to them and your presence would be made powerfully known in their lives. Your healing touch would go forth. And Father, we just thank you for the way that you continually impress upon us that you are a miracle worker. And the first service, how we heard about Mason Hartranft and just the way you've touched his eye and just allowed healing to take place, Lord. We just don't look for signs and wonders, but we know that they're available to us if it be your will. So Father, just help us to be trustworthy, to be faithful to your call, to just understand and to know that you have a plan for us, no matter how difficult that can be at times, Lord. We just trust you, and we have our faith in you, for we know that you are a God that loves us and has sent your Son for us, that we might know the ultimate healing when this life is over, and we'll be free from any type of pain, any type of suffering that we are experiencing now. So just thank you, Lord, for that knowledge of our salvation, that we can trust you, we can believe in you, we can live for you, and know where our life ever after will be. But Father, while we're here on this earth, we have a great call upon our lives. You've called us to serve. You've called us to make your name known. And Father, we know as we look at different reports across the world, Lord, the Christian population isn't growing at the pace that they would have anticipated. And we pray that we would just step up, that we would see the need to share what's happening in our lives with others, that others might come to know you because of what you've transformed us, what you've done for us. And we often think of what you're doing with the youth and the revival we're seeing within the youth in the Church of the Brethren and National Youth Conference. We certainly can give a lot of credit to for doing that. And we just pray that fire, that passion, that confidence they have in you, having heard your message through so many incredible speakers, that that would stay fresh, that would stay upon their hearts, and they would go back to school in a few weeks and know that there is a God that others can trust too in what they're dealing with, and that they can be accepted, they can be loved no matter what they have done in their lives, no matter what they're doing in the present moment. Lord, forgiveness is at hand, and we just thank you, Lord, for that forgiveness offered through the cross. We do take pause this morning. We know that sins often creep into our lives, whether we know about them or whether we need to just confess any unknown sins to you. Father, we just pray in these next few moments that you would hear our prayers and we would just be washed clean. We would hear that voice, that small, still voice that says you're forgiven. So thank you, Lord, for that forgiveness, that being set free. And hear our prayers of our hearts as well in these next few moments. Father, we just thank you for opportunities before us. We thank you that we can be support for others. We thank you that we can encourage one another. We thank you that we can listen and we can hear stories of things happening in one another's lives, and that we can know that you're a God that we can pray to and we can ask in those situations that you would move. And we thank you that we can worship you, Father, that we can come freely here to Little Sotara and worship you, and just pray for those being persecuted across the globe for gathering as Christians, as followers of Christ, that you would protect them, you would put a hedge around them, and you would give us confidence in our faith, that we wouldn't have any fear, we wouldn't have any stress, we wouldn't worry about sharing what we know about you. For we know that, Father, you are our Savior through your Son, that he has given us the ability to say he's the Lord of our lives. And just thank you that we can surrender and just let go of those things that entangle us. So God, we thank you for that freedom from our sin, and we continue to turn from it. And we just thank you for those gathered here this morning, Lord, the work you're doing in their lives. We pray that you would continue to just show your ways to them and just allow them to know what direction they should go each day. And just thank you that there will be no more of that pain and suffering when we enter our life ever after. So keep us faithful and help us to trust in you through these times. And we pray all this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen and amen. And I'd like to invite three individuals up this morning, Craig and Jenny Lookinbill and Patricia. Can I call you Patty? Patricia Timmons. Patty Timmons, we know her better as. They are newly called deacons. So as they gather up front, I'll have Brother Gary come up as the deacon chair as well. And just to give a little background on the commissioning service for church leaders. In the Church of the Brethren, people are ordained for ministry at baptism. Let me say that one more time. In the Church of the Brethren, people are ordained for ministry at baptism. The church also calls out people with gifts for specific ministry tasks. This congregation, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, has called these people for leadership among us as deacons. So today we're going to join in a service of consecration, commissioning for these people for ministry. Would you pray with me? God, we give thanks for all people here who have responded to your call in Christ Jesus to be workers together with you. We're especially grateful for our brothers and sisters who express their faith and witness through specific ministries in this congregation. Grant us grace that we may all present our gifts and talents to be used for your glory and our neighbor's good through our Lord Jesus. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, God has called you to these ministries in our congregation. We thank God for each of you and for your willing response to this call. We believe that God will empower you for this ministry among us. We invite you to make your commitment by responding to the questions of commissioning as we ask them. Do you willingly accept the responsibility to which you have been called? And do you promise to be faithful in fulfilling that responsibility as deacons? If so, please say, we do.
We do.
Will you seek to live a life worthy of this trust, exemplifying Christian faith in spirit in all that you do as deacons? If so, please say, we will. Will you be creative, redemptive, and cooperative as you work together in common tasks as deacons? If so, please say, we will. Will you prepare yourself by becoming familiar with congregational, district, and denominational policies and ministries? And will you prepare through regular Bible study, prayer, worship, and sharing in the life of this faith community as deacons? If so, please say, we will.
We will.
Amen. Congregation, we as brothers and sisters affirm you as deacons called to serve in this congregation. We offer to you our cooperation and our confidence, our prayers and our support, so that both the knowledge and love of God revealed in Jesus Christ may increase among us and in all of God's creation. As a co-worker in Christ, I declare you installed as deacons, workers, and delegates of the Little Swatara congregation in the name of the Creator God, the Redeemer Jesus Christ, and the Sustainer, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessings to you. The commissioning service has come to a close. Welcome as deacons. If you haven't identified your deacon, I would encourage you to do so. Craig and Jenny have taken the place of Jerry and Pauline. And, of course, Patty has taken the place of Bud Larimer. So if you had those individuals as your deacons, you now see who your new deacons are. But I encourage you to look to see who your deacons are and seek them. And know that they're praying for you and they're there for you as you journey through this congregational life together. Bless you. Thank you.
So as I said earlier, we were at National Youth Conference last week, and one of the things that the kids do while they're there is a service project. So the group that I was with for our service project was disaster relief cleanup buckets. before we got to putting all these buckets together, we were directed to kind of go around in smaller groups and discuss different areas we know of that the Church of the Brethren serves. Serves. Blanket thing there. We talked about disaster relief. We talked about disaster child care. We talked about Heifer Project. All these, you know, great places that the denomination serves in. Then we were directed to talk about anything that we personally may have done. There were three adults in my group and three kids. Two of the three kids had served on a lot of different projects and things, and all of the adults either knew someone or had done a lot of different relief kind of things. And the one boy, he spoke up and he says, "Wow, I feel like I really haven't done very much." And that kind of hit me, because here we were that morning, and once we got going on our project, in less than half an hour, we had 125 disaster relief buckets put together. That's 125 families affected positively with our love and our gifts. Half an hour, that's not very much. And just like the offerings we put in this plate, we may not have very much that we can give, but God takes that little tiny bit that we give, and wow, you know, you start here, and I start at a little teeny angle, but as that angle keeps going out, how much space does that encompass, and what does that reach out to? We can do this with a little bitty gift. And since I'm an emotional wreck after a week with no sleep, I'm going to pray after we take the offering. Please bow your heads and pray with me. Father, you are such an amazing God that with these little tiny gifts, tiny moments of time, tiny pieces of ourselves, you can multiply and make this outreach an amazing and worldwide blessing upon so many. In your name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. How's everyone doing? So, have any of you ever wondered what heaven is like? Have you wondered about heaven? Where it is, what it's like, who lives there? The Bible talks a bit about heaven, and God has given us some hints about what it will be like. But a lot of it is still a mystery, because God is still preparing a place for us. Do you know God can use whatever he wants? Gold, diamonds, amazing things that we've never even seen on earth in heaven. Maybe that's why the Bible doesn't give us a complete description of heaven, because we wouldn't be able to understand the amazing things and how beautiful it really is. I know I want to go there. It will surely be a different place than here on earth. So I brought a few things with me today to kind of help us a little understand about some of the amazing things that heaven has. So I'm going to take a few things out of my bag. You're going to help me. Let's see if I can find the first one. What's this? A Band-Aid, right. On earth, we have sickness. But in heaven, do you think there'll be any sickness or hurting? Nope, no more. We won't have to worry about any sickness, pain, or hurt. My next object is this. What is it? Almost. It's a washcloth, right? What do we use a washcloth for? Washing, cleaning, right? We use it to clean. Our earth can be a very dirty and filthy place, can it? And we try to clean it, but in heaven, we won't have to worry about that anymore. It's a spotless and clean and beautiful place. The next object I have, maybe you don't know what these are, but they're for your eyes. They're eye drops. And I put these in here because these represent crying to me. We've all cried before, right? We've all shed tears. Yeah, we've all cried tears before. Do you think there'll be any sadness and crying in heaven? Nope. No sadness, no crying. The Bible says that God will wipe away every tear that there will be no more crying in heaven. The last object I have in here is a flashlight, right? We usually use a flashlight in what? In the dark, right? To help us see. We have darkness here on earth, but in heaven, Jesus will be the only light that we need. So God promises us in heaven that everything will be made new again, and you won't ever be able to feel hurt, pain, fighting, crying anymore. Sometimes it's hard to imagine how fantastic heaven is going to be because we're so used to living on earth. But how amazing life will be there. Jesus will be our joy forever and ever. Let's pray together. Dear God, we thank you for preparing such an amazing place for us to go. We know that heaven can seem like a mystery sometimes, but for us, we know all of these wonderful things you have promised when we follow your ways. Amen.
Thank you. That is me. So our scripture this morning comes from the 21st chapter of Revelations, verses 1 through 8. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death."
Would you pray with me? Father, these words pierce our hearts this morning. We know, God, there is a real heaven, but we're also very much aware that there is a real hell. And we know that one day when we take our final breath, having believed or having chosen not to believe, we face our eternal destiny. But this morning, we want to rest in assurance, knowing that there will be no more. No more sin, no more crying, no more pain. There'll be no more darkness. There'll be so many things that we no longer have to deal with, that we deal with in this life, that trusting in you, believing in you, having faith in you, making you our personal Lord, makes all the difference. So, Father, I pray you would just continue to open our hearts, open our minds, that we might receive you, we might know you, because you are a God that makes yourself known. I can only imagine being at National Youth Conference in Colorado and seeing the beauty that you have blessed this earth with. We step out the doors of this church and we see the land before us. And even if we've never heard your name, we can know you by your creation. So we have no excuse. We pray, Father, that you would allow us to hear your words this morning, what it would be that you would have us hear. And it's in the powerful, powerful name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You ever have one of those experiences that you wish you never had? For me, it was during archery season. It always seems to be during archery season. There's this level of addiction when it comes to chasing the mighty whitetail. On this particular day, the buck rub seemed fresher than ever before. The trails seemed even fresher. So in the midst of that hunt that day, I made a poor choice. Those of you who know me, I'm not one to be up extremely early in the morning, so I hunt at the end of the day. So the problem for me was it was getting closer and closer to dark. But I had that feeling. Hunters, you know what I'm talking about. The one that tells you, don't give up. Just sit down, don't move, and wait. So that's exactly what I did. I paused, sat on a stump, and I waited. You know when it gets dark, how the sounds start to settle in? The squirrels and the chipmunks' chatter seems to get all the more louder. That barred owl asking what seems to be, "Who cooks for you? Hoo, 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 hoo." Have you ever heard it before? The screech of the red-tailed hawk. And the sound that I really never liked hearing in the woods when it was getting dark, coyotes barking and howling in the distance. But friends, I heard it. It was that sound that was unmistakable. It was that sound that I had been waiting for. The crisp leaves made it ever so evident. This time, it wasn't a squirrel. It was going to be a deer. It seemed to be getting closer and closer, but the darkness was getting greater and greater. My heart pounding. My eyes peeled in the direction that I heard that sound. But in the back of my mind, this voice kept saying, "Get up and leave, get up and leave before it's too late." I didn't listen. And unfortunately, I didn't check the batteries in my flashlight before I left. So there I am, all alone. No flashlight, not even a cell phone, because the last time I scared a deer away when my phone buzzed. It was getting that dark. Everything just looked the same. So I set off in what I thought was the trail that I had followed. But you know the end of the story. Before long, it was evident I was completely, totally, without a doubt, lost. But for the first time in my archery hunting experience, I did not panic. I remained calm. I bowed my head and I simply prayed, "God, I need your help. I'm lost and I need you to lead me." But then all I could do was listen. Because the road that I have come off of, I have no idea how far into the woods I had traveled, but I knew there were other hunters that stayed in the woods a lot longer than I did. And thankfully, after what seemed like hours, I heard that sound of a vehicle passing on a road which seemed nearby. But as I reached that road, as I stood on that pavement, finally out of the woods, I realized I was nowhere near where I had parked. So again, I remained calm and I prayed, "Lord, give me a direction." The road went this way and the road went that way. At this point, the moon was bright enough that it guided my path. So I chose the left and I walked and walked and walked, and you can imagine, walked some more until finally, which I'm going to call by the grace of God, there was my beautiful purple Jeep. And I remember sitting in that Jeep, just praising God, thanking him that that moment didn't turn into something worse. Well, last week, you may remember, it was one of those days for the Apostle John. It was one of those moments where he didn't think he would have to share any more in that vision he was seeing. He didn't believe at his age he would be writing about the coming tribulation. But as we remember, God had other plans for John. Maybe this morning, the thing you least want to do for God will be the very thing he leads you to do for him. The thing you least want to do for God may very well be the thing he leads you to do for him. John saw seals open, trumpets blown, bowls of wrath poured out. The severity of the judgments was breathtaking, to say the least. The seventh seal seemed to include all that came after, as did the seventh trumpet. Clearly, this was the 7-year period that we had come to call Daniel's 70th week. During it, God's judgment on the sinful world system would be poured out. During it, John rejoices to see so many of his fellow Jews respond to Jesus and become great witnesses. He rejoices to see many from every tongue, tribe, and nation receive Christ before it was too late. As the saying goes, we sometimes run out of options, and this may very well have been the best way God had determined after thousands of years, these 7 short years, to call the world to a final answer. But we remember John was the one who had written, "For God so loved the world." And we can only imagine how bitter it was in his heart to see others who simply would not repent. Despite so many last chances from a holy and a loving God. Friends, this is where it gets hard to imagine for us, that some will choose to worship Satan and follow those two beasts, the Antichrist and the false prophet. I remember there was this old saying in insurance sales that said, "Some will and some won't." It boils down to the fact they have to see the benefit for themselves. At the time, I was selling a policy a lot like Aflac. You know, the one that covers the benefits major medical doesn't. For many, they thought that day would never come. They would never need it. And brothers and sisters, I think a lot think the same, that the day will never come. They'll go to one eternal place or another. But friends, let's not be naive about this. That day will come for each of us. No need to tell you again how fragile this life is. Treat it like an egg. Live it like an eagle, keeping your focus on the life above in Christ. I stand here and I admit, I can't fathom why anyone would choose hell. But friends, God gives us that choice. He doesn't send anyone there unless they choose that eternal choice. For we know that we serve a loving God. He loves us that much. He sent his only son that we don't have to die apart from him. You see, friends, life ever after can be in his presence. But again, it's all our choice. The decision is in our hands. No one else can make that choice for you. So as these visions of that tribulation unfolded, which simply means trouble, John was brought back and forth between what was happening on earth and what was happening in heaven. It's no doubt heaven's perspective was so entirely different than earth. We can see clearly on earth men were grieving the loss of their sin-based economy, killing those who turned to God. But heaven was welcoming home those who died for their faith. John had thought about how much this applied to the situation he had always known, living in the Roman Empire. All those wicked rulers would eventually get what they deserved, whether it was Herod or Nero or Domitian or the coming Antichrist or Satan himself. You see, time doesn't allow to speak of the amazing things John saw angels do during that time. But let me give you a small glimpse. They fought against demons on our behalf. They sealed and they protected 144,000 witnesses. Friends, they even restrained the weather so that God's plan could unfold, taking back the earth that rightfully belonged to him. Do any of you remember play dates as a child? Do you remember mom or dad would say, "Hey, we've got some friends that want to come join you for a play date today." Did anyone ever look forward to those? I remember being invited to a play date, not at my house, but someone else's house, and I took my favorite Tonka truck. Now, if you remember play dates, the toy that you took usually ended up in someone else's hands. And you can beg mommy or daddy all you want, "Can I get my toy back?" And they would say, "No, you need to share. You need to share." "But that's my Tonka toy." But remember, that moment came. That moment came when that play date ended. And you know what happened at the end of play dates? You got back what rightfully was yours. That Tonka truck That beautiful yellow Tonka truck that I still own, and it's metal and it's beautiful, was given back to me. And so that's what's happening here with God. He's taking back what is rightfully his. But don't be mistaken. God loves to share. He loves to share the grace. He loves to share the mercy. He loves to share the newness that his son Jesus offers us. But then John heard one of the greatest announcements he had ever heard. No, not that the Phillies won the World Series, though that would be nice. But at the end of the Great Tribulation, he heard a loud voice in heaven proclaiming that the marriage supper of the Lamb had now come. We can remember back to that upper room when Jesus told us he would not taste of the wine again with us until he returned to set up his kingdom on earth. This is that moment. He could see the saints in heaven dressed in fine linen as the moment came. Somehow the radiance of their garments corresponded to the righteous acts they had done for Jesus on earth. He couldn't figure out how. But let's pause here for a moment. I do have ADD after all. During the first service, above me there was a light flickering. As you now look above me, can you notice a light that seems a little different than the rest? If you can, nod your head. Now let's bring that down to our level here on this earth. Are you like that single light above you that stands out, that shines brighter than all the other lights? Or have you made that decision like the other lights that are a little bit dimmer, not quite as bright, that you're just going to conform rather than be transformed and stand out? And that's the question that faces us every single day of our lives. Will I be that brighter light? Will I be the one who chooses to make a difference despite what the rest of the world may do? Passing by, ignoring, passing judgment, caring not for the least of these. Friends, be that bright light. So now, we enter into that goosebump phase. Have you ever gotten goosebumps before? This is a moment where if the hair on the back of your neck is going to stand up, it's about to happen. Get ready for what I'm about to say. John then saw heaven opened. Are you ready for this? Brace yourselves. Here's where we get those chills and those goosebumps. Jesus Christ comes riding out of heaven on a white horse. Jesus Christ comes riding out of heaven on a white horse. And it's not just Jesus, the saints of heaven ride after him. Does anyone like westerns? You know, when the frontier, when the cavalry comes riding in, they've got the victory flag waving. You can just see Jesus on that white horse. If you've never seen a white horse, go find one this week and marvel at it and realize that one day Jesus is going to come riding out of heaven on that beautiful white horse. And we know that in that moment, the white flag is being raised. Victory has ultimately been won. And you know he has a robe on? And you know what that robe says? King of kings and Lord of lords. Breathe that in. King of kings, above all powers. Lord of lords, above all things. Brothers and sisters, the question for us this morning is, have we made him king? Have we made him Lord of our lives? Or somehow, some way, do we still think we have control? You may have realized during this entire sermon, the screen has been blank. In your bulletin, perhaps you've noticed there have been word a word of the week. And the word for this week is nothing. So it's on purpose. There's nothing wrong with our system. Nothing is something when it comes to Jesus. Because we realize that there is nothing that can separate us from his love. Sometimes we sit here in the pew and we think, but you don't know. You really don't know me. You don't know what's happened in my life. You don't know what's been done to me. You don't know who I've become. But Jesus does. And he tells us, nothing, nothing, nothing can separate us from his love. So you ask yourself, have you finally gone to the point of no return? And have you realized that on your own, you can't do this life? As a matter of fact, I can hear the Lord echoing me in heaven, you shouldn't even try. But have you come to the final realization that nothing can separate you from God's love? No matter what we've been, who we have become, nothing separates us. Now, God in his love does require action. He does want us to surrender. He does want us to let go. Like those cop movies, put your hands in the air and just surrender because you know that Jesus cares. But it's your choice. Whether you say or not, I am yours, Lord. You are my king. You are my Lord. You are the one who gets to choose whether you'll step in his direction and live the life that he's designed for you. But John's vision doesn't stop there. It continues. He came to earth and he saw those who still would not repent. They were gathered against our Lord under the leadership of the beast and the rulers of the world. But no worry, friends. We know who has the ultimate victory. Jesus defeated them with the sword of his mouth and he threw them into the lake of fire. And finally, it happened. He bound up Satan for 1,000 years. And Jesus and the saints reigned over the earth from Jerusalem, just as the prophets had said. It's how the earth should have always been. But then, at the end of that time, there's still yet another battle. This time, it's led by Satan, who's been loosed. And it included any among those born during that 1,000 years foolish enough to join him. As they marched on in Jerusalem, fire from heaven would consume them. And then, praise the Lord, friends, Satan was once and for all thrown into the lake of fire. And he saw, John that is, those who had ever rejected Jesus stand before God on his great white throne of judgment. The books of their deeds were opened in God's sight. Remember, these are the ones not found in the Lamb's book of life, which is where we find the record of all people who turned in faith to Christ. We can't help but to think how sad it was they never repented and turned to Jesus. Instead of receiving his blood to cover their sins, they were standing before God based on their own merit. And every one of them, trusting in themselves, thinking they could do it on their own. They didn't need a Lord of their lives or trusted in something other than Christ for salvation, were thrown into that lake of fire, forever separated from God. I don't know about you, but this is the most heartbreaking scene for us to even consider. I can't stop thinking, why wouldn't they repent? God had given them so many opportunities. God gives us so many opportunities. But on to our scripture for this morning. John saw that new heaven. He saw that new earth and the new Jerusalem coming down from God. and the most wonderful things the saints were experiencing there. It was breathtaking beyond description. Just open to the book of Revelation, chapter 21, and you read about what there is no more. Now I can stand here and I can make jokes about that. No more snakes would be nice. No more mosquitoes would be nice. No more, you name it. But he spells out some of those no mores. No more sin. No more persecution. No more death. No crying. Come on, guys, we've all done it. No pain. None of those things that hold us down will be in heaven. We'll finally be free. But it's only with God, it's only through his Son that we can experience this life ever after. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. We pray that soon, and very soon, we shall see our King. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you and we praise you that the door to heaven is still open. But we know, Lord, that it's our lives at stake. We have friends around us that live an exemplary life of who Christ is. But still, even amidst that, we must make that decision. Will I follow? Will I make him Lord of my life? Will he be my King? Or will there still be distractions in this world that separate me from him? Things we can't seem to just let go of. So, Father, I'm praying in the strong and most powerful name of Jesus that you would loose those things that bind us. That you would open our hearts to receive the salvation freely given. And, Father, you would begin to whisper your small, still voice into our ears that we might hear, you are my child, you are accepted, you are loved, you are forgiven. Draw near to me. Allow me to be part of your heart, that your life too might be transformed. And oh, what newness awaits. And oh, what a glorious heaven awaits. So Lord, we ask in this very hour that you would have your way. But we do know, Lord, soon and very soon, we shall see our King. May it be so in your Son's name. Amen and amen.
Thank you.
We praise you, Lord Jesus, that you do indeed have the ultimate victory. We praise you, Lord Jesus, that we can leave this place transformed, renewed, living a life rightfully for you. That there is a life ever after awaiting us, and there are others who have yet to hear that good news. May we be the voice. May we be the sound that brings forth your name. And may it be so in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Go in peace.